The text for our thoughts this morning is taken from the Old Testament book of Genesis, and we'll be reading verses 12 through 22 this morning. As we read the Old Testament history, I invite you to reflect on your own life and to ask yourselves, how in the world could this story in the Old Testament be pertinent and relevant in my life? The scripture says, "Then Joseph removed from them, from Israel's knees, and bowed down with his face to the ground. And Joseph took both of them, Ephraim on his right toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh on his left toward Israel's right hand, and brought them close to him. But Israel reached out his right hand and put it on Ephraim's head, though he was the younger. And crossing his arms, he put his left hand on Manasseh's head, even though Manasseh was the firstborn." Verse 15, "Then he blessed Joseph and said, 'May the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked faithfully, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May they be called by my name and the names of my father Abraham and Isaac, and may they increase greatly on the earth.' When Joseph saw his father placing his right hand on Ephraim's head, he was displeased. So he took hold of his father's hand to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. Joseph said to him, 'No, my father, this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head.' But the father refused and said, 'I know, my son, I know. He too will become a people. And he too will become great. Nevertheless, his younger brother will be greater than he, and his descendants will become a group of nations.' He blessed them that day and said, 'In your name will Israel pronounce this blessing. May God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh.' So he put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh. And then Israel said to Joseph, 'I'm about to die, but God will be with you and take you back to the land of your fathers. And to you I give one more ridge of land than to your brothers. The ridge I took from the Amorites with my sword and my bow.' May God add his blessings to the reading and hearing of his word this morning." I begin our thoughts this morning by asking you a question, and that is, what in the world is a blessing? We use it in a lot of different contexts as a noun, a verb. The word actually is used over 400 times in the Old Testament. The word in Hebrew, baraka, means to kneel, and that word is contrasted to the curse. So to kneel is the origin of the word. Now, I must say, as a pastoral counselor and minister works with families, I've had decades of hearing the stories of families. And I have hundreds of stories of both family blessing as well as, unfortunately, family curses. Today, I want you to focus our thoughts on the blessing component. Maybe another day we could talk about the curse, but today we're going to focus on God's blessings. And as you think about God's blessing this morning, I want you to expand your thinking and think about not just the tangible, the house, the portfolio, the estate, not just the tangible, but I invite you to think about that which is not tangible, the intangible, that which cannot be grasped. There are many Old Testament scriptures that we could have chosen this morning to talk about our topic, but the one that we have chosen this morning was taken from Genesis chapter 48. I want to remind us that today that we need to remember that according to the law of Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, the law said the firstborn of the father is entitled to receive the double portion of his father's inheritance. That isn't compared to the other siblings in the family. Deuteronomy 21, 17. But I also found it interesting to learn as I was reading, it was also the firstborn of the mother as well. So according to the law, the firstborn was given priority. Now, when I was reading this passage to try to figure out what's something that would be helpful to say today, I noticed in the footnote of the Amplified Bible an interesting comment. And I want to read it to you verbatim because it grabbed my attention. Here's what that footnote in the Amplified Bible says. It said that God acts independently of the claims of priority based on time of birth when he chooses men and women. It goes on to say that he too crossed his hands in the case of Seth over Cain, of Shem over Japheth, of Isaac over Ishmael, of Jacob over Esau, of Judah and Joseph over Reuben, of Moses over Aaron. You get the point, don't you? So this morning, the question that I beg that we reflect on, what does it mean and what can we learn about this biblical account of our history as people of faith? Well, one obvious thought for me is the mystery of God. There are things about God that we can understand, and yet there are things about God that are beyond our human understanding. The other component that I garner from this text is the complexity of family life. The complexity. So in the Old Testament, we see individuals blessing God. They are kneeling before God, as the word implies. We see God blessing men and women created in his image. And we also see people created in the image of God blessing each other. Well, on the bookshelf of my office is a book by Myron Madden. I actually got the title of the sermon from the title of his book. It's entitled, The Power to Bless. Dr. Madden, interestingly enough, was pastor of St. Charles Avenue Baptist Church in New Orleans, Louisiana, and for many years he was a pastoral educator at Baptist Hospital there in New Orleans. Last week in the sermon, Dr. Head mentioned Dr. Wayne Oates. Interesting enough, Myron Madden was a student of Wayne Oates. And as I was listening to the sermon last Sunday from Dr. Head, I was thinking about the students of Wayne Oates, who was a leader in the field of pastoral care and pastoral counseling, whom I never met. However, in my own personal professional career and my own personal life, four of Dr. Oates' students have influenced me deeply and greatly, and for that I am grateful. Well, in this book by Dr. Madden, he talks about that we all are familiar with the idea of a blood transfusion. But he goes on to say that a blessing could be conceptualized as a life transfusion. And I've taken my title of the sermon today from Dr. Madden's book, The Power to Bless. It's a little pamphlet, little book that you might find interesting to pick up. In that book, Dr. Madden says the early years of life tell the story of vows, curses, and blessings. And from the earliest of life, he says that families were given blessings, and they also withheld blessings. And those are the stories that are hard to hear. And how one particular child can put the twinkle or the sparkle in the eye of one of the parents And Dr. Madden talks about his own family from that experience, how his grandfather could never get any delight from Myron's dad. Regardless of what Myron's dad did, it was never good enough. Interesting enough, Myron also goes on to say that not only did he experience that from his grandfather, but from his father, he always felt like the father gave favoritism to his next older brother, but not to Myron. The power to bless. We have blessings within the family. Sometimes when there's a deficit from the parental figure, I often ask folks, well, what about a grandparent or an aunt or an older sibling who has provided for you the blessing? And he goes on to say also about blessing beyond the family. And he highlights the as-is quality, which he means that the blessing is not dependent upon performance. It's not dependent upon academics. It's not dependent upon sports aptitude. It's not dependent upon grades or looks. The blessing is an as-is quality. And when we find that as-is quality, we get closer to better understanding the mystery of God. Blessings begin with God. We receive blessings from God, and we give blessings to each other. John Claypool has a quote that I like. He says that the goal of preaching is to take that which has blessed you, the preacher, and offer it of hopes to blessing someone else. He said, it is gift giving. So the gift that I offer to you today is, can you count your blessings this morning? Last year, pre-COVID-19, I was walking the halls of North Fulton Hospital, and I had this unusual experience where I felt like my dad was walking with me. It was a powerful experience. My dad died in 2011. Well, the backdrop of that experience was, as a child and as a middle schooler and as a high school student, I used to make rounds with my dad on Saturday morning. And we would go to the local cafe and get a hearty breakfast, and then we would go make rounds. I actually learned pastoral care from a physician, not from a theologian and not from a pastor. And sometimes I would go in the room, and this is way before HIPAA, and sometimes I would sit at the nurse's station and talk to the nurses and the Catholic nuns. That was an informative, formative experience in my own life. And the infusion of my dad as I was walking the halls of the hospital and his presence and the blessing that I felt were overwhelming. They empowered me. And for that, I am very grateful. Well, the sermon's not about me, it's about you. It's about your blessing and the people that have been put in your life by God, within your family, educators, supervisors, pastors, teachers, the people in your life that invested and infused their life into you. That's what we're talking about this morning. So as we conclude our time of worship this morning, I pray that you would be able to recognize the presence of God in your life, and that you will look for opportunities to be a conduit and a channel of the blessings as you go about your week, this next week, and live your life of faith. Will you join me as we pray together? Our Father, this morning we are mindful of your many, many blessings. We're mindful, O God, today that we do not deserve, nor anything that we can do to earn, but it's just because of who we are, created in your image and loved by you. So we give you thanks, O God, and we thank you for this church who is about the mission of sharing the blessings that we have received with those that are in our lives this next week. Thank you for this reminder, and indeed, we do give you thanks. For Christ's sake, amen.